preparation for tonight, I spent about 50 plus hours preparing, alongside of homework and finals, there at Bob Jones. So if you fall asleep during the message, we'll take you out and throw you in wet snow is left on the ground, and hope you get frostbite. The message tonight comes from 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. And I'll be preaching over a fairly lengthy passage. When I was preparing a paper for one of my classes there at Bob Jones, I thought it was horrible that I had to preach or prepare a message over 24 verses. And so tonight we're going to look at 38 verses. If that doesn't sound a little crazy to you. But we'll go ahead with that. 1 Kings 22, verse 1, if you're there with me, please read along. And I ask that you keep your hearts open to God's word tonight. That you keep your hearts open to this. It's a story, almost. It's a historical record. You know, there's a difference between reading technically, reading, you know, how to fix a car, and a story about someone who fixed a car. And so tonight is more of a story, but it is an inspired word of God. So let's read verse 1 and following. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle with Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 of them, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither, Micaiah the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat the king of Judah sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place, and the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. Verse 11, And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, made him horns of iron, and said, Thus saith the Lord, With thee shalt thou push the Syrians, until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramoth-Gilead, and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold now, the word of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? And he said, Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him. And prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, Which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, "Behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself." And the king of Israel said, "Take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. And say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace." Only 10 more verses. And Micaiah said, "If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me." And he said, "Hearken, O people, every one of you." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, but put thou on thy robes." And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariots, saying, "Fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel." And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, "Surely it is the king of Israel." And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at venture, and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, "Turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded." And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians, and died at even, and the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went out a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, "Every man to his city, and every man to his own country." So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord, which he spake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have a lesson for us to learn from this book. I pray that we would have our hearts open to it. Lord, it's a lengthy passage, and I just ask that you would help me to preach it with energy, and that I'd preach it the way that you would have me speak. I pray that it would minister to our hearts. Help us to be attentive, I pray, in your son's name. Amen. Preaching over 38 verses, it's kind of hard to get the context of what's going on. So I'm going to help you out a little bit and kind of categorize this for you and let you know what's going on. Verses 1 through 12. Ahab and Jehoshaphat have formed an alliance to retake Ramoth-Gilead from the Syrians. The two kings consult 400 prophets and also Micaiah, a prophet of the Lord. Ahab initially consulted 400 prophets in order to get God's permission to go to war. You know, when my brothers and I were younger and still a little more recently, when we want to get our parents' permission to do something, we know which one to ask. You know, if we wanted to play the Xbox, we would ask our mom. You know, we want to play video games, we'd ask our mom. If we wanted to go shooting guns, we'd ask our dad. And if we wanted, or mostly me, because Ben eats too healthy and I'm just a junk food addict. But if I wanted Breyer's ice cream, I wouldn't ask my mom, I'd ask my dad because he'd say yes and he'd join with me. And, you know, apply this to Ahab. You know, if you want to get an answer, you know who to ask. And Ahab consults 400 prophets that he knows will say what he wants them to say. Notice that the prophet who, when Ahab said, "Fetch Micaiah," the messenger said to Micaiah, "Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good." But Micaiah's response was this: "What the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." In the face of all this pressure, Micaiah was determined to speak what God had for him. I want you to see tonight that the theme that I see from this passage is that Jesus Christ is my life. The Lord is my life. If there is one thing we can learn from Micaiah out of these 38 verses, it's that Micaiah lived his life saying, "The Lord is my life." There are three things that characterize a Christian who lives with the Lord as the theme of his or her life. And the first one of those is that the Lord will be that person's compass. Verses 1 through 12, I want you to see that the Lord was Micaiah's compass. First of all, to the unsaved crowd, Ahab, was he unsaved or was he saved? How many people think that Ahab was unsaved? How many people think that Ahab was saved? Ahab's lack of fruit gives reason to believe that he was unsaved. You know, the Bible doesn't say indirectly that I have found where it says Ahab was not a Christian or that he followed in the ways of the Lord. Ahab married Jezebel, a foreigner. And along with Jezebel came her gods that he ended up worshiping. You know, another reason why I don't believe Ahab was saved was that he worshiped Baal. And that's why Elijah, and it was more so Jezebel, but that's why Elijah had to confront those prophets on the side of the mountain where the altar was consumed by the fire of the Lord. Ahab sold himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord. Would you go with me to 1 Kings 21:25, please? For me, that's just a page back. 1 Kings 21:25. "But there was none like unto you, Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up." Not only did Ahab sell himself to do wickedness, but Ahab obsessed about a vineyard. Not only did he obsess about it, but his wife murdered the owner of that vineyard so that Ahab could take that vineyard for his own. You know, if Ahab had a Facebook, if Ahab had a Facebook account, I imagine it would say something like this: "In a relationship with Jezebel." You know, perhaps he'd post something like, "What a beautiful day. The wife just stole Naboth's vineyard for me. Smiley face, feeling happy. Holds a job at King of Israel. Religious beliefs, worships Baal. Rarely listens to God." Oh, maybe another post you'd put is, "Happy Mother's Day to the best wife ever, Jezebel, WCW, Women Crush Wednesday," if you don't know what that means. That's kind of popular with people my age on Facebook. But you can see that Ahab was clearly a wicked man. Yet Micaiah was still functioning as a compass, God's compass, to point Ahab in the right direction. You know what? Who else was unsaved? Were the false prophets. That's what I believe. I don't see anything else in Scripture that gives us reason to believe that they were saved. Say, so what are your reasons for that? I would say, these prophets' lack of conviction for God's word leads me to believe that these prophets were not saved. Look at verse 12 with me of 1 Kings 22. "And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand." They're not worshiping Baal. They're prophesying in the name of the Lord, but they're false prophets. They were more concerned with keeping peace than with delivering God's word. Sound like anyone today that's more concerned about keeping peace than delivering God's word? To me, it sounds like the past advisors of the presidential office, maybe the past 30 years, with people who don't preach God's word, but they're more concerned about keeping peace. They were also influenced by a lying spirit. Verses 20 through 23, Micaiah tells Ahab, "Your prophets were influenced by a lying spirit." And for those reasons, I would say, you know what? Those false prophets were unsaved. You know what? Micaiah also functioned as a compass to the saved crowd, and in this instance, it's Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat would be considered a good king and a saved king. 2 Chronicles 17:3-6 says, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. And all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor and abundance." So Ahab's the Christian out of this group, but you know what? Jehoshaphat can be considered rebellious for allying himself with Ahab, who was a wicked king, and his involvement with marriage and to Ahab's family. So you say, you know what? What characterizes someone who says, the Lord is my life? I would say that God, Jesus Christ, functions as that person's compass. You know what? When the Lord is not your compass, you will live a purposeless life. I see it all the time. You know, I sit around at the airport and I look at people and what they're doing. And a lot of times it's business people or, you know, people, mostly on business trips is what I see, but maybe traveling from concerts, going to see family, and I watch them and what they do, and I wonder if they're saved or not. And I talk to people on airplanes, and what's very evident is that the Lord is not their compass in life, and they live a purposeless life. Ahab and the false prophets lived for personal gain, selfish desires. You know, you want to see people with a purposeless life, look at Hollywood. You know, we always use Hollywood as an example, but I think it's very fitting. Look at Robin Williams. Do you all remember Robin Williams who hung himself? He had one of the best lives. Plenty of people would envy him. He has purpose in life. Millions of people watch his movies. But he ended his life because the Lord was not his compass. Note also that Christians will feel purposeless if God is not their compass. Look at Jonah, who fled from the Lord, got on a ship that he wasn't supposed to get on, and eventually got swallowed by a whale. And it wasn't until he confessed to God, saying, Lord, be my compass, that the whale puked him up on the land, and he finally found his purpose with God. And he preached to the city of Nineveh. Look at Solomon. When he forsook God as his compass in life, he took on 700 wives and 300 concubines, and they became his compass and turned him to worship false gods. It's no wonder that a compassless man would write a book like Ecclesiastes, themed vanity of vanities, all is vanity. When you live your life apart from God, and it is possible not just for unsaved people to live a purposeless life, but for Christians like Jehoshaphat, who are not using God as their compass, looking to the Word of God and looking to it for guidance, they will live purposeless lives. And for me, with changing my major, it felt purposeless at times that I wouldn't look to the Bible. It really felt purposeless. And I look at other people, at Bob Jones, who I know, who struggle with that. And if they don't look to God's Word, they'll be purposeless in life. It's estimated, I heard Rand Hummel preach at Bob Jones, said 6 out of 10 college students that go to a Christian university will end up forsaking the faith. And I say that the reason for that is because they forsook God as their compass. But you know what's interesting? When the Lord is your compass, others will notice that. When I was at the public school, and I was about to walk into a debate in, you know, AP US government, you know, I'd be walking up to the class, and someone would stop me from the class and say, hey, you know, we're talking about abortion today, and I know how you feel about this. Could you just kind of keep it down a little bit? People know when the Lord is your compass. Look at this in 1 Kings 22. First Jehoshaphat knew that Micaiah was the compass, that the Lord was his compass. Verse 7, and Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord beside that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, and now we have Ahab noticing that Micaiah's compass is God. Ahab notices and says, there is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And I laughed out loud when I read that. I was in the study lounge at Bob Jones, and I had to read through 1 Kings and 2 Kings in one night. That's right, it's about 40 or 50 chapters. I read through that in one night, and this part made me laugh, because people will know when the Lord is your compass, and it's evident. But when God is your compass, he will be your only conviction. When Jesus Christ is the theme of your life, the Lord will be your only conviction. The Lord was Micaiah's only conviction. Let's look at verses 13 through 23. When the messenger came to Micaiah, verse 13, and said, "Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good," Micaiah let his conviction be made known and said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." The Lord was Micaiah's conviction despite a harsh message. You know, how would you like to tell someone that if you go to this next battle, you're going to die? Verse 17, and he said, that being Micaiah, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master." That part, "these have no master," means Ahab will die and his people will have no master. "Let them return every man to his house in peace." But also Micaiah had to tell Ahab that his prophets were lying. Verses 19 through 23. What's hard about this passage is that it makes God look like a liar. Does God lie? The Lord will never lie. And we know that from multiple passages of Scripture. You know, here are some various possibilities to this problem, but first I want to present the problem. Let's read verses 19 through 23. Does the Lord lie? Keep that mind in question, please. Hear that question in mind. And he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, do not go, I don't permit lying. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also, go forth and do so. Now therefore," this is Micaiah telling Ahab, "behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee." Does the Lord lie? But how do we know? Here are some various possibilities. Well, God is not trying to deceive Ahab. He told one of his spirits to go deceive Ahab. Therefore, God was not directly responsible for that. You know, we often try to paint God as someone that will never act harshly towards people who disobey his will or his word. That is a false belief. And I'll tell you why. Because God's intent was to deceive Ahab. Now, that sounds funny at first when you think that God is trying to deceive someone, but I'm going to show you scripture that supports that. Psalms 18, 26 through 27, please. Would you go there with me? Psalms 18, verses 26 through 27. Verse 26 of Psalm 18. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down the high looks. Isaiah 66:4. Isaiah 66, verse 4. Isaiah 66:4, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. God's intent was to deceive Ahab. But look at this also with me. Verse 23, if you go back to 1 Kings 22, verse 23. 1 Kings 22, verse 23. What's Micaiah telling Ahab? Micaiah is telling Ahab that his prophets are lying. Micaiah is telling Ahab that his prophets are lying. If you know someone's lying, what does that tell you? God was trying to deceive Ahab, but he gave him another chance. And he sent Micaiah to tell Ahab, your prophets were lying because I sent a lying spirit to them. But guess what? Ahab didn't listen. Ahab did not listen. You know what? Jesus Christ was more of a conviction to Micaiah than other things. It's a shame that Christians often speak with more conviction about golf and who the best golf players are. It's a shame that Christians speak with more conviction about who the best baseball players are. It's a shame that Christians often speak about a powerful song, secular or sacred, with more conviction than the Word of God itself. It is a shame that Christians speak with more conviction about politics than they do about God's Word. It is a shame that Christians speak with more conviction about the Constitution of the Founding Fathers being violated when God's Word is being violated every day. The fact is, many Christians are more convicted about the things of this world rather than being convicted by the power of God's Word. And it is a shame. Micaiah was more convicted about Jesus Christ than other things. You know what? The Bible teaches we must die to our other convictions. James Calvert was a missionary to the Fiji Islands. While traveling to the mission field for the last time on a boat, the captain warned Calvert and his team about the cannibals that occupied the hard-pressed region. He said, "Sir, you will die and your men will die if you stay here." James Calvert replied by saying, "We died before we got here." We died before we got here. That is a prime example of someone who has died to other convictions besides that of Jesus Christ. Someone says, Jesus Christ is the theme of my life, and they haven't died to other convictions. They might still be a Christian, but they're living a purposeless life because God is not their compass. You know what? Christians must speak the word of God with conviction, but the Holy Spirit will do the convicting. Look at verse 24, 1 Kings 22, same chapter. Verse 24, but Zedekiah, who was a false prophet, he's kind of like the leader of the 400 prophets, but Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, "Which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee?" You know, what's this false prophet Zedekiah saying? He's saying, how do I know that what you're saying is God's word and not me? Obviously, Zedekiah was a little convicted. You know, my brothers and I like to be pretty adventurous. And I don't do this anymore because that was my high school days. It doesn't justify it, but we went ding-dong dishing people. Some people we knew, others people we didn't. If you don't know what that means, we'd ring the doorbell and run. And I didn't like it when it happened to us, but yeah. Anyways, we went ding-dong ditching. We went ding-dong ditching, and you know, we could find the right houses. Yeah, we know these people, and we want to ring their doorbell and run and wake them up in the middle of the night. But you know what the hardest part was? The hardest part was going up there and knocking on the door or ringing the doorbell. That's the hardest part about it. It's not hard to point out the houses there. It's not hard to get there. It's hard to ring on the doorbell because the guy that's chasing you is going to be far behind you or not far behind you with a shotgun or a baseball bat. But you know what's good and what's nice and what's comforting about God's word? Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." All we must do is guide Jesus to the door and he will do the knocking. You know, if we speak with conviction from God's word, we don't have to do the convicting. God will. We don't have to go knock on the door. He'll do it for us, but we have to lead him there. We have to speak with conviction just as Micaiah did. If Jesus Christ is our conviction, we will be certain that his word is true. The Lord was Micaiah's certainty. You say, what does it look like for Jesus Christ to be the theme of my life. I'd say Jesus Christ needs to be your compass, just like it was Micaiah's. Secondly, I'd say that Jesus Christ needs to be your only conviction. And third, I would say Jesus Christ needs to be your only certainty. Verse 24, we already talked about when Zedekiah smote Micaiah on the cheek and said along the lines of, how do you know that what you said is God's word? And look what Micaiah responded with. Verse 25, and Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. What's that supposed to mean? That you will go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. The best I understand that is that what's going on, Ahab and Jehoshaphat are about to go to war with the Syrians. And Micaiah says if Ahab goes to war, he's going to be killed and they'll lose. And in that day when the Syrians come to take over, you'll be running from chamber to chamber, remembering the words that I spoke unto you. You'll be running from room to room in your house, remembering the word of God which I spake to you. Ahab thought that he would live through the war against Syria, verse 27. Ahab thought that he would live. But Micaiah told Ahab, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. Micaiah was certain that God's word would come to pass. Ahab, if you go to battle, you're going to die. And Ahab said, I'll be back. And when I come back, I'm going to return to Micaiah. And Micaiah responded, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. O people, hear me, every one of you. Verse 34. Although Ahab tried to disguise himself, God still used the random arrow of an archer to kill Ahab. Ahab tells Jehoshaphat, you know, I'm going to disguise myself, and when we go into battle, I'm going to look like you, and you'll look like me. But what's interesting, Jehoshaphat being the good Christian who seems to be a little purposeless in life right now, if you go to 2 Chronicles 18, you read where it says, Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord heard him, when all the Syrians flocked around his chariot. But then when God helped him, the Syrians realized, that's not Ahab. That's Jehoshaphat, and they left him. Verse 33 of 1 Kings 22 says, and it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And here's how we know how Ahab died. Verse 34, and a certain man drew a bow at venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host. Micaiah was certain that God's will would come to pass, and it did. Remember that people who don't have God as their compass in life will live a purposeless life. They'll live an aimless life. And I think it's ironic that Ahab's aimless life was ended by an aimless arrow. Of course, we realize that it wasn't an aimless arrow because God directed it. But the way in which he used it was a random arrow at the hand of an archer. The last event of prophecy that I want you to see was fulfilled that Micaiah was certain about. Please go with me. Last passage for tonight that we'll turn to. Please keep your fingers in 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 21, 19. 1 Kings 21, 19. Verse 19, about the middle of the verse. Thus saith the Lord. This is Elijah speaking to Ahab. Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, the owner of the vineyard, whom Ahab killed, shall the dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Ahab got shot by this arrow, an aimless arrow, and he asked his driver to turn around and flee the area, and he left, and he died. Look at 1 Kings 22, verse 37. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria. This is verse 38. And the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord, which he spake. Christians need to speak with the same certainty about God's word that Micaiah spoke with. What are some things that we can speak about as Christians today? You know, Micaiah lived a few thousand years ago. We can speak about the Lord's return, knowing that he will return in the clouds, and we will meet him in the air. We should speak with certainty that God can save men from sin. We should speak with certainty that God will lead you to live a purposeful life if you choose him as your compass. When Jesus Christ is your life, which is the theme of tonight, Jesus is my life. The Lord is my life. When Jesus Christ is your life, he will be your compass. He will be your conviction, and he will be your certainty in life. And we've seen this in the life of God's prophet, Micaiah. However, if Jesus is not your life, if the Lord is not the theme of your life, you will live purposeless. Can you genuinely say, Jesus Christ is the theme of my life? And if you can say that, it will be evidence that Jesus will be your guiding compass. He will be your conviction. He will be your certainty in life. But perhaps there are some of us that would say, I need to replace a broken compass that only points one direction. I need to replace that in my life with the real compass, Jesus Christ, so that my life will be purposeful instead of purposeless. I need to remove a false conviction, a misplaced conviction in my life, and replace it with the only conviction in life, which is Jesus Christ. I need to remove a false sense of certainty in my life and replace it with the only certainty in life, which is Jesus Christ. Before God, at this moment, can you say, the Lord is the theme of my life? Let's pray.